Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in fields, keeping their watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had happened to them, what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told to them. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
On Friday, I went to Hy-Vee to do a little bit of last-minute shopping, some specialty things that I needed. And when I was checking out, the cashier asked me, "Are you ready for Christmas?" Anybody heard that from shopkeepers? Yeah, are you ready for Christmas? My response, she didn't really get it. I said, "Ready in what way?" Right? Isn't that the question? Are you ready for Christmas? It's coming on the calendar whether we're ready or not, right? And she didn't get my response, and instead she just proceeded to tell me that my shopping's all done, so there, you know, was all proud about that. So, very good, congratulations. You see, though, it's a loaded question. It's a very loaded question. It's loaded for me because my heart is not ready for Christmas, the Christmas that I'm going to have without Dale. On Friday, I hadn't yet put my finishing touches on my sermon, and so I knew when she asked that question that I wasn't ready for Christmassy worship today. So that was one of the things that went through my mind. And I was thinking, I still have presents to wrap and like two more to buy. And so that was going through my mind about not being ready. And then I hadn't packed yet to go to my mom's in Mason City. Am I ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? There's a secular answer to that question of being ready, you know, buying all the gifts that we need, wrapping and placing them under the tree, doing baking, house cleaned and bags packed for Christmas travel, whatever it is. And then there's the sacred answer to that question. Are you ready for Christmas? Today, I'm more concerned with the sacred question than the secular one. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready to receive Jesus Christ once again into your hearts or maybe are you ready to receive Jesus Christ into your hearts for the first time in your life? Are you ready to unwrap the gift of Jesus this Christmas? What is, though, the gift of Jesus? Let's find out. I'm looking for some gifts. Who has number one? Jesus brings hope. Thank you very much, Glenna. So Jesus brings hope, and hope is nothing we can touch, though the words Jesus brings hope is on her piece of paper in her box. But hope is not something that we can actually touch, and yet it's something that we long for. We long for and hope for things to turn out the way we would really like them to turn out. But where does hope come from? Hope, my friends, comes when we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. It's when we give our hearts to Jesus and let that hope help us propel us forward. Now, when we believe in Christ and when we give our heart to Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out all rosy and perfect and be without trouble and conflict. On the contrary, troubles are going to still come our way. But in hope, Christ promises that Christ will be there through us, through the hardships, and through also the good times. Christ is there with us no matter what. Okay, so again, what is the gift of Christmas? What is the gift of Jesus? So I'm looking for number two. Jesus brings peace. And we talked about peace today. Thank you. We talked about peace today when we lit our Advent candle, the candle of peace. Boy, we just have to turn on the news and see the unrest, right? Unrest is everywhere. Bombings and shootings and violence and family challenges and work issues. We are people who long for peace in our lives, in our hearts. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. All authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom." If you look on the front of your bulletin, we splurged and got pretty covers, and on the front of that are some of those names. They come out of Scripture. Prince of Peace, Word of God, Lion of Judah, Alpha and Omega. We talked about it with the kids this morning. Jesus is the bringer of peace. And yet, the peace that Jesus came to bring was not a kind of peace of reconciliation or of compromise or of conformity. You see, the world doesn't give peace. For it doesn't have peace to give. The world is not able to give us peace. Only Christ is able to give us peace. The world can negotiate for peace, right? We try to do that in our politics. The world fights for peace, but there is no ultimate peace in the world aside from Jesus Christ, the bringer of peace. Jesus brings peace to the hearts of those who put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. If you have received his peace, that means you're living with Jesus in your hearts. But if you have rejected Jesus, then your life does not know peace. Let Jesus into your heart so that you know his peace. So what is the gift of Christmas? Gift number three. Jesus brings joy. Thank you very much. If you receive the weekly email, we do an update every week with some announcements, and either myself or Melinda, we write a devotional for you to read, a way to kind of prepare you for what's going on. But if you read last week's, not this week's, I talked a little bit about joy, and I want to share some of it with you again. Psalm 65:8 says, "The whole earth is filled with awe of your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy." God calls forth songs of joy. Joy can be difficult to comprehend because it's not dependent upon our circumstances. Instead, it's dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. For me, it's difficult to find joy with the grief so close to the surface, and lately, it's been right bubbling at the surface. My wounds are still pretty raw. We sing the song, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come, and it's a song of this season, and boy, kids can belt it out really great, can't they? Just that first verse, they really got it. But as I was growing up, I was perplexed by the way the song said, the Lord is come. And I knew that Jesus, even as a kid, I knew Jesus was like 2,000 years ago. And so how come it isn't the Lord has come? Because, you know, he was born 2,000 years ago. I don't get it. Why didn't we sing that? And as I grew in my faith, I discovered that the Lord is come and the Lord has come and the Lord will come. And that's the way the everlasting Lord works in our lives. And when the everlasting Lord works in our lives, we experience joy, even amid hardship. Christ was in the beginning with God, and each time we have Advent, we have the opportunity to cradle baby Jesus in our arms, and Lily got to actually hold little baby Jesus. And the Lord is come. The Lord brings us joy as Jesus lives in our hearts. As we open the gift of Jesus, we can remember that Jesus is the bringer of joy. And we've lit all the candles of the Advent except for the Christ candle, which we'll light tonight. But Jesus Christ is the bringer of joy. We have one more gift. Anybody want to guess what that one might say? Jesus brings love. Thank you, Adam. And Jesus loves us so much that he chose to die a criminal's death on the cross. That's how much Jesus loves you and you, all of you. And then he rose again, and Jesus lives forever. All that so that when we die, we too will live forever with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Love that Jesus offers us is the model that we're called to have in our lives, to share it abundantly and sacrificially and just give it wherever we can, the love of Jesus Christ. The gift of Jesus, my friends, will be the best gift that you open this year. Better than everything that's wrapped under the tree, better than everything you've already received, the gift of Jesus is the gift that brings love, hope, peace, and joy. I invite you to open it. I invite you to receive Jesus and then live each day as if you have Jesus in your heart, because you do have Jesus in your heart. Christ raises those who believe to everlasting life, but also Jesus puts it up as a stumbling block for those who don't believe. If you want to honestly and earnestly be a Christian, then you cannot stop with the sentiment of Christmas. This is beautiful. It's beautiful, and Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, but we cannot stop at the manger. We have to continue walking with Jesus all the way to the cross and accept that Jesus, the man who died on the cross for us, and give your life to him. To truly believe in Jesus Christ, to truly open the gift of Christmas, we may need to reshape our lives. We may need to reshape our values. We may need to do things differently in the ways we treat each other and the way we use our resources. This journey to Jesus, this journey to Christmas, is one that we take every day of our lives, not just the month of December. The gift of Jesus is for every day of our lives. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we praise you for the gift of your Son, the one whose life began in his mother's womb, but more than that, began with you before the world even began. Your plan was to bring Jesus to us all along. We thank you that Mary accepted that gift of obedience, and Joseph accepted that gift of trust, and that we, like the shepherds, can go and see and find Jesus and invite him into our hearts. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.